It's Hoffman Show. We're on the team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app now on iHeartRadio and tune in as well. Of course, YouTube at the team 980. We stream the entire show. Clinton Yates with us now. Clinton, something must have happened if you're with us on a Monday. What is the news?
Well, you know, there's news. And what's funny is that it's actually from the baseball diamond, which is pretty interesting because everybody knows the All-Star game is coming up next week. There's good news from the Nationals in that James Wood is obviously going to be there.
Yep.
And in the home run derby along with others. But I do also like the decision that has been made by the owners, I must admit.
Yeah, so let's talk about that part because, well, it would be nice to just wax poetic about James Wood. Maybe we do that next week after he blasts home runs in the All-Star game or in the home run derby. But the Nationals, obviously, as folks know by now, have fired Mike Rizzo and Davey Martinez. You just said you like the move, so go ahead and let's explain why.
Well, there's a sort of a long preamble to this that I'm not going to super get into, but what it comes down to is the fact that Rizzo represented when this club got serious about baseball. He was there after Bowden was stepped down as a result of some shenanigans that were happening in the DR. And basically, he came from the Diamondbacks, and he was the first sort of guy that was like, listen, I know how to run a franchise. The problem is that in the time since, this franchise has gone into the doldrums with him because drafting has been difficult and operating on a shoestring budget, proverbially, he was doing pretty well with what he had. Shoestring draft picks, all of this to say in terms of Stott and Harper, things were good. There was a time when you could visualize the situation in which this was going to make sense. Then Strasburg gets hurt after they win the World Series. Then the pandemic happens. And it ultimately all just kind of came crashing down as an indication of if your owner isn't really, truly in it to win it, your franchise will fall apart even with a good fan base.
Yeah, I mean, the one of the interesting things about the Nationals timeline is they win the World Series and then they have basically a mandate from ownership to tear apart that team. But right. Also, a lot of that team would, like, if had they kept it together and they play like they play in other places, like, I don't know how good that team actually is. Obviously, Rendon has basically never been heard from positively again. Scherzer still had a little bit more left in the tank, but it wasn't like he was long in the tooth in terms of success at that point. There's only a couple more years maybe in him. And on down the list, you know, Trey Turner obviously is still consistently been a good player. But I think they would have had to continue to invest, and it clearly that wasn't the plan. But you also have teams like the Rays. I mean, the Dodgers do it differently because they both are super locked into the details and spend like nobody's business. So they get to win from both ends. But I guess the question I would have if I'm Mike Rizzo, right, is like, is this fair to me, or was I totally set up to fail and now 6 years later I've just failed? Like, or is this on him for not evolving with the game as the game has evolved?
Here's the thing, Gregory, is that from a literal nuance standpoint, I don't know that anybody truly failed here unless you're going to consider the learners the failures. Did Mike Rizzo do a great job? Not necessarily. Was Mike Rizzo at the helm when they won a World Series? Yes. Like, those things all happened. And so I think it's a little easy to hyper-generalize. And I'm not saying you're doing that. I'm saying the average baseball fan does do that, and I understand why. Because, look, if you see stars and you see success, this idea of, oh, we could have kept them together is much more difficult of a task in baseball than it is any of the other four major sports by a lot. And that includes the National Basketball Association, who is dealing with this problem right now regarding the CBA. That's a personal opinion. So for me, Strasburg was already a done deal in terms of he was going to go and we were going to pay him, as in the city was going to pay him as the fan base collectively for what he had done. Never mind the fact that the team was the one actually writing the paycheck. Number two, easy to forget also, Bryce Harper left the Dodgers team before they won that World Series. So that is out as a personality in terms of what people thought that they could have kept. And all the other guys that sort of came and went, you know, that were big names in the major leagues, those were way station kind of pickups, and they had served their purpose. I think it's okay to Nationals fans to say, hey, look, this is the official end of whatever you thought 2019 meant to you, and that's fine. some franchises get caught up way too much in trying to constantly have a string of that championship team still through, and they can never truly move on. Chicago Cubs, I'm looking at you. I'm actually happy that the Nationals said, listen, with a contract option coming up in Davey Martinez's situation, we're not going to have another lame duck coach for the rest of the summer, and the draft is coming up. Time to cut the cord. Made sense to me.
Yeah, and Rizzo obviously had the same contract option for 2026. Clint Yates with us here on the Hoffman Show. The other guy that we haven't mentioned that is fairly significant and is a complex figure in all of this is Soto, because he was phenomenal for that World Series team and was super young. And it's like, yes, look how good we're going to be for the next decade with this guy as our best player.
Right.
And then the Lerners, like Rizzo and the Lerners both knew there's no way they were going to win the bidding war there. And so Rizzo makes what is kind of his last greatest move, where he acquires all these dudes who are now all-stars, or in CJ Abrams' case, just barely missed all-star this year, but was last year in the trade for Soto. And I guess the question is, like, if you're a Nationals fan, one, is it reasonable to expect the Lerners to eventually, if whoever the new GM can build some semblance of a winner, for the Nationals to spend again at a real level that puts them in play, even to keep a guy like Mackenzie Gore, who's another Boris client, who is actually at the same point now in his MLB service as Soto was when he was traded, to be able to keep guys like that? And either way, like yes or no on the flow chart, can they compete without being that, or you know, with being that?
I was flying a plane the other day, and somebody asked me in the AMA, what are the Nationals away from winning another World Series title? And I replied, they are an owner who genuinely likes baseball away from another World Series. So to answer your question, no, I don't think the Lerners are going to spend, because that's just not how the Lerners operate. And so at some point, you have to face that inevitability. It's not just a matter of market forces with Masson or whatever's going on with a once-in-a-lifetime guy that's going to garner $500 million. There is a general vibe around who that franchise is and what they do. And ever since the big man passed, it just hasn't really been the same as far as what they're doing from an ownership standpoint. And again, I don't blame them for this. The Nationals are the prototypical example of what happens when a Major League Baseball team goes wrong because the owner just plain doesn't like baseball enough. And that, to me, is what is most sad about this, if you look at it from a national perspective as well. People liked this team. People respected the franchise. They beat the Astros in the World Series when the Astros were still cheating. And then it fell apart. And that's what's kind of sad about all this. I think that the Nationals fans deserve better, and I think there's an addition through subtraction thing here that hopefully ends honestly, we forget about a GM, forget about a manager. How about it ends with a sale of a baseball team?
Well, that's obviously still floating out there. They've said that they weren't. But like you, when you talk to people around baseball, and Clint Yates with us again, ESPN, ESPN Radio, the show Clinton and Friends Mornings, which you can catch on the ESPN app. Like, you're at ballparks all the time. You talk to people all the time. People know where you're from. They know you're from here. They know your DC ties. So, like, is there just a shift in tone since Ted Lerner passed, and really since Ted gave control to Mark Lerner, who's now running the team?
Well, I would say that it was more so the idea that if anything was ever going to change, it was going to have to be him who did it, not his progeny or second generation. And that's what's sort of unfortunate about it, is that there's plenty assets there as far as the park, the neighborhood, to some degree, the roster flexibility or what have you, and the talent. To another degree, the intensity of the fan base, which is not crazy. It's not Philly. It's not Queens. I'm not going nuts here. But there was something there. There's a kernel of love that has a World Series ring to go with it. And people who are well alive still remember it. And that's where I think that it becomes really difficult, because you think to yourself, whoever the next person is to buy this, if there is another buyer in the next 5 years, why are they buying it? And this is where the conversation about a certain other individual named Theodore comes into play as well, which is, are you going to let this team go to just another individual who wants to make this part of their larger portfolio? Or is it possible that an actual baseball fan with a ton of cash gets behind the nation's Capitals team? You got to look far and wide for that. And I don't know how easy that is. I don't know how many of those people even exist that don't already own baseball teams, and that's kind of the tough part.
Well, yeah, but also, I mean, we've seen with the Mets, like, it's highly volatile when if the owner is too involved. Like, the best thing you can do is be rich and hire smart people. Like, that's kind of the Dodgers approach, no? Is like, yeah, they like baseball, but, like, he also just bought the Lakers, and it's they've hired ridiculously smart people and said, you tell us what you need, we will sign the checks. Like, I think, like, you have to like baseball enough, and you have to like winning enough to invest, but it's not like you have to be you with billions of dollars, you know?
Remember the last person that I mentioned? My point is that you've got to like the sport of your team more than you like yourself being in headlines and more than you like saving money. That's the equation there. It's not just about meddling, not remotely. It's about the fact that if you do care about the sport and you do care about your team, the message you laid out as a operation to get towards success is obvious. The problem is if you look in the mirror and that person is more important than the nine guys that are on the field anytime.
Yeah, and we'll see. But if you're let's say though the learners are really committed to the like they're committed to not selling the team, which I'm gonna differentiate from committed to the team, right? If you are another general, like if you're working in the Dodgers front office and you're the assistant GM or whoever the VP of blah blah blah, or you're working in the Rays front office, like one of the pick somewhere else that's good at this. Would you be willing to leave and give it a shot with the Nationals, or what would it take for, you know, you probably take the interview, right? To get your name in the headlines because that your agent's being like, yeah, you're going to take the interview. But what would it take for you actually take the job?
That's an excellent question. And I'm glad you brought up the Dodgers before that, because you see teams now where is being the GM of a big league club necessarily best particular job for really anybody at any given moment. If you don't have those kind of resources, people are in front offices and scouting offices and analytics all over the shop now. These things have grown in numbers from the low dozens to the hundreds in some kind of scenarios, all the way up and down, you know, a major league organization down to the minors. And so I just think it's going to take a special blend. This is somewhere where you maybe lean on somebody who themselves cares about the Nationals for regional or local or personal reasons. Now, don't get me wrong. Big league jobs are big league jobs. And when Mike Rizzo first came over from Arizona, not necessarily everybody was super familiar with him. So this can work. What I'm saying, though, is that in a market in which actual successful teams are paying actual dollars to just bankroll guys and put them basically on their bench the same way that, I don't know, old college football teams used to have guys that could have won the Heisman on third string because there just wasn't that kind of equity in the game. This is closer to where we're getting with Major League Baseball, in my opinion. Team decisions with team philosophies, way more so than one guy with a wizard wand waving it around on a baseball field trying to determine who's going to be the next, you know, star.
Obviously, the GM hire is the most important in the long term, and we'll see when that happens. Mike DiBartolo named the interim. Miguel Cairo, the interim manager today. Like, do you have any strong thoughts on the manager relationship, whether that's on Cairo and what he could be in the interim, or kind of how that works long term with the eventual new GM?
Not particularly in terms of the individuals involved. That's always a tough spot, something Nationals fans know well. But I will tell you this, Craig. It does give me some sort of an indication as to what the process is there. You were willing to bang your GM and have an interim ready. Okay, but you were willing to bang your GM and your manager, and it took you a day to do so? Like, that to me was a little weird. It showed to me that for whatever reason, they were, I don't want to say fed up, but they were clear about their decision when literally the guy that runs the team on a day-to-day basis was not named immediately after the hire. You don't need a day in between those two things for the sake of posterity and respecting Davey Martinez. God bless him. You could have done that in the first thing if you actually knew who it was. They didn't, and they were that ready to move on. That to me is fascinating as who the characters are themselves.
Yeah, I'm curious what that process looked like. Did, you know, they go to DiBartolo and be like, hey, who do you think it should be? And then they have a discussion or, you know, well, hopefully, eventually, we'll find out more. Clint Yates, you can catch him on ESPN Radio. Clinton and Friends is the show. Also, read his work at ESPN.com and Anscape. Yates, appreciate you, sir. Thank you for doing a Monday deal on some breaking baseball news with us.
No problem. Got to give my cousin Mark, whom you know, a shout-out. Appreciate you listening.
Shout-out to Mark. All right. Thank you. Goodbye.
Hey, brother.
Thanks, dude. That's Clint Yates with us here on The Hoffman Show. And actually just saw a little bit more on the Cairo piece of this. They were actually waiting on him. So Miguel Cairo was offered the job around the same time that DeBartolo was, but he ultimately decided to delay and wait. So that is that was the full story there. I literally just saw that as typing stuff up as Clint and I were talking. So when we get back, tell you what, we'll have a very short segment. We can get a couple of highlights from Anthony's vacation because we know you've been waiting on it all show. Then at 6:30, Jeff Passan was on Grant and Danny earlier today. Must listen interview. We've got the best of it to play for you, some bites and some reaction to that coming up here on a very baseball-heavy edition of The Hoffman Show. But first, the latest from the world of women's sports, presented to you by Wawa Chicken How You Wanna at Wawa, with customizable roasted and crispy chicken sandwiches.